She lost her eyeball after suffering a mysterious and rare illness and suffering two strokes in the process. But Chandler Plant turned that situation into a positive, helping millions of people and creating some of the most unbelievable pieces of prosthetic art you've ever seen. We're going to talk to her today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Evan? Evan?
I know, I'm excited about today's show. I cannot wait because we have an amazing guest, somebody who is a journalist, a content creator, a disability advocate, and also an artist. And you're going to see why when you meet Chandler Plant. Chandler, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
First off, we've been looking forward to this episode for a long time. Isaac shared a video and I thought it was so inspiring. It talked all about what you've been through and what, you know, you've been able to create over the last couple of years. What a story you have. Instead of letting me tell the story, I figured it's probably best to just pass the mic to you and just kind of let people know about you. So take it
Definitely.
Away.
Definitely. I have a fun medical history, that's for sure. I mean, I went from being a totally healthy 21-year-old to just having so many issues in the span of like a few months. I got COVID back in December 2020, like the original strain. And I had two strokes 3 months later. So that was pretty wild.
Yep.
I didn't really know how to handle that. And then shortly after dealing with the strokes, I developed a massive inflammation behind my eye that continued to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. I tried a lot of different things to stop it, but it didn't really respond to any treatment. So effectively, it pushed my eye out of my head.
Whoa.
And And I think it was May 2024, I finally decided, like, listen, I can't do this anymore. Like, I've been going through this, you know, this process of trying to save this part of me, and it's just not working. And every time I had a flare up or something went wrong, I had to wear that on my face. You know what I mean? Like, it was a very visible disability. And
how did you cope with that? Can you just give us a little bit more insight on that?
Definitely. I mean, in the beginning, I really hated it. I really didn't anticipate that my face was going to change in addition to everything else. Like, I had already lost my stability. I had already lost my sense of control. I had already lost my health, you know, or, you know, what I had of it. And now it was like I didn't recognize myself in the mirror anymore either. So it was a very bizarre situation. But, you know, over time, I found a community online and I started doing like makeup on the eye and trying to find little ways to like embrace the situation I was in. I was like, if this is what I'm dealt with, at least I can make the most of it. And that really helped me repair the relationship with my eyeball. Like, I kind of personified her in a way. And even though I was sick and I had no vision and I had this very visible disability going on, like, it really ended up being a hard decision to part with the eye because I ended up really loving her. And it was really kind of a sad thing.
It must have also felt like so concrete, right? Because when it's there, maybe you're holding on to hope, however realistic it is or not, that it can be saved and that there's a way to repair it. But when you make that decision to remove it, that's such a final decision, such a, you know, so how did you, what was your mindset with that?
Totally. I know so many people ask me, they're like, why wouldn't you just get rid of the eye like immediately as soon as it went blind or as soon as it started to cause you pain? And it's like, well, exactly. Then I'd have to admit that it's never, ever going to get better. And I just don't think I was ready to admit that. I think there were so many things I wanted to try. We did radiation. We did the Mayo Clinic. You know, we did infusions. And those things take time. And, you know, I don't regret it. People ask me now if I regret waiting so long. And I'm like, no, because now I can say that I did everything I could to try to save it. But it is bittersweet for sure, the journey I've been on.
Yeah. So once this was, once you got to the next step of not having your eye, how did you take like that energy? Like, how did you take that and turn it into what you have now? What was the motivation behind that?
Once the eye was actually gone, I feel like it was such a weight off my shoulders, honestly, because I didn't feel like I had to try to save it anymore. So I could focus on healing. I could focus on getting better in a different kind of way than I had before. Instead of just praying that I would be marginally better in the morning when I looked in the mirror, I could be like, oh, I can wear like a sparkly prosthetic eye, or oh, I can wear a fun little eye patch, or oh, I actually feel better today because there's less inflammation in my body. And that was really encouraging and helpful in cultivating like a more positive mindset. And just feeling like I can actually live my life now. It's not to say people with disabilities, like I still have a very visible disability, but it's not to say I couldn't have lived my life back then with the eye the way it was, but it was just a lot more comfortable. I mean, I wasn't in pain anymore. It, like, I didn't have to deal with that, should I or shouldn't I? Should I have removed it? Should I not? It wasn't the only thing on my mind anymore.
Well, Chandler, I think what's really amazing that we haven't talked about is the content creator side. So for our audience that is learning or just learning about you today, I think what you did is probably what most people, I still can't even turn on a camera and go on TikTok and be a content creator, but you told your story, and that's what I find so amazing about your story is that you told it to the world. So can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to start to tell your story during this time that you're going through in your life?
Oh my gosh. When I started making TikToks, I was like at my absolute worst. Like, I was not all glitz and glam the way you see TikTokers now. I was like fully in the hospital, an IV in each arm. Like, I was a mess.
You were dancing? You were doing anything?
No. I was not Dixie D'Amelio up in there. No, for sure not. People, I think, resonated with me being a mess. That's really what it comes down to. Like, I looked a mess, felt a mess, and I was like honest about it because there was no hiding the fact that that's what was going on. And I, at the time, I was just trying to update my friends and family because that was kind of the medium.
Sure.
Like, Reels, Instagram Reels wasn't really a thing.
Absolutely.
So just genuinely, I was like, hey, Grandma. In the hospital again. And then I was like, oh no, a million people saw this. Okay, well, I guess we'll roll with it. But wow. Looking back, it is a little embarrassing. I'm like, oh, that's really honest. I guess it's out there now.
I see it as a different way, you know, because my story is, you know, my daughter, she's about to be 10 years old. She has cerebral palsy. She's nonverbal. She was in the NICU for 143 days when she was born. It was a traumatic birth. And we were in the NICU. She's okay. She's adorable. Mm-hmm. She's right over there. She's incredible. But when that happened, when the birth happened and we were in the NICU, as a parent, we were just confused. You know, there's shock and then there's confusion. And then you're trying to take all this information in, and then you're trying to make sense of it all, and then you're trying to figure out what to do next. And I was just scouring the internet, looking for any information I could. I didn't know if it was real or if it was fake or if, you know, whatever. Yeah. But you're like, one of the things when you're in trauma, when you're in that moment and you're trying to figure out what's going on, like seeing, you know, social media was huge for us. We were able to connect with other families, other parents of kids that had similar situations to my daughter, Sydney. And we were able to generate a whole network out of it.
Yeah.
You know, people that were still
close with to this day that helped us everything from like figuring out how to convert the van for a wheelchair or like the right doctors to see and the right therapists and all that stuff. And it's because of social media. I don't know how I would have been able to connect with these people without it. So when I see your story and what you were doing, first off, shout out to you, because it is a hard thing to do, to be so open about a condition where you have no idea what's going to happen. You're just like, I met the doctor today. I don't know how this is going to go. We'll see. But to be so brave to put your story out there and to, you know, I don't know if you realized at the time, maybe you do now, like how helpful and meaningful it is to other people who are going through similar conditions, situations that are looking for any kind of sliver of hope, any kind of like lead for information or comfort or whatever it is. And to see you being so honest and open about it is so, it's inspiring, it's brave, it's helpful. And I'm wondering, you know, now looking back, I know you're saying you look back at the goofy videos, all that stuff, but have you been able to kind of process like how important these videos that you were making then have become to other people?
I don't know if I'll ever be able to like fully process it, because it's true. Like people will comment like you're the thing getting me through or some such like comment. And that hits so heavily and I don't know how to fully process it. And you're making me realize maybe I should spend more time processing those kinds of comments, because they're really, really impactful and really have given me a purpose that I never could have anticipated throughout this absolutely wild situation that I'm dealing with. And it hasn't, like, I would never wish this on anyone. I would never say, oh, it's made it all worth it, because like that's not my vibe. But
right.
it's been incredible to see that something so awful can at least help other people in a tangible way.
Absolutely. Chandler,
for every one person that's commented, there's at least 25 others that didn't, that are following on, that you're taking them through. Like, and I guarantee that. And it's the same thing, everyone. You brought up like all these different groups on Facebook and things like that. You're 100% right. And I'll tell you this, Chandler, because I'm on the same side as Evan. My daughter's disabled, and when she was born, like, you don't know anything, and you are just searching and searching and searching and searching for information, and you'll go wherever the trail leads. And there were so many people that we encountered that were like, that gave us just little pieces of great information that made life easier for us. And you're that. So
yeah, absolutely.
Know that for sure.
And by the way, and the next chapter of this is, I want to get into not just the video part, but when we come back from break, we're going to talk about the artistic part of it, because I think that's so inspiring, and how you've been able to not only how you're handling all this, but how you're able to create art out of this situation. So we're going to get into that when we come back on Driven by Purpose. Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenbaum, along with the two founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro, and my guests are, and our guest, Chandler Plant. And I'm looking at your the bio sheet, and I want to tell the people this because I think this is amazing. You're the assistant health and fitness editor at PS, which was formerly Pop Sugar. You've had writing that's appeared in People, Romper, Lady Gun, and more. You've gone viral on TikTok, as we discussed, for talking about your condition and just your amazing personality and all that stuff. But one of the things that I want to focus on now is the art that you've been able to create. You talked about how you were doing makeup tutorials at the beginning. You were doing makeup about you know, how to kind of do things with your eye. And now with the prosthetic eye, you're creating these really cool prosthetics. And I want to hear more about that.
Yes. So originally it started out that I was only talking about health, and then I kind of pivoted towards just trying to embrace my eye a little bit more back when I still had it. So I was doing makeup on it, like sparkly fun makeup, gluing gems to my face, that kind of thing, as a way to embrace it and feel less afraid of like going out in public with it. And it really did help me a lot. Like whenever I had the makeup on, people would talk about the makeup and not my eye, which was
right.
an amazing feeling when you get so nervous that someone's going to say something not so great.
Right.
And then when I lost the eye, I was like, well, I guess that's over. I guess I could never do makeup again. And I was like, wait, that's not true. I can definitely still do makeup. And I started having these, we call them Fana eyes made, which are just like creative prosthetic eyes. So instead of looking realistic, they might be covered in glitter or, you know, covered in paint or gems or whatever you could think of. I have like 7 or 8 at this point. And so I'll match my prosthetic eyes to my makeup looks. And it's been
That's
a way for
awesome.
Me to once again embrace this new change. Like, who knew I could have so many changes to my literal face? But makeup,
I love it.
Has helped tremendously.
I mean, just being an artist, though, it's like an expression, right? So you can create pieces and express yourself through your art, which then you can wear on your face. It's amazing for the world to see. And the fact that you've also built this audience, you get really get to share your gift, your talent with the world. It's pretty cool. I have a question. Are there a couple that stand out as your favorite pieces?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I love this gold. I have a gold sparkly one in
That's
right
so
now.
That's so cool.
And there's no pupil. So, you know, my eye doesn't move. And that makes me happy that it's just a giant globe of sparkle.
Right.
I'm
right.
like, ah, oh, that's my soul. It's not a prosthetic. It's just my soul in there.
Nice.
I also have a blue one with like silver sparkles that I love. You know, there's a bunch.
That's awesome. How long does it take you to make one?
I don't make them. I have them made by an ocularist named Christina King at Center for Ocular Prosthetics in Portland, Oregon. And she does the craziest stuff. I've seen her put a spider.
Wow. That would be wow.
I've seen her do snake skin. I've seen her do everything. So, you know, this is just scratching the surface. If you guys want eyeballs.
Christina's got it.
I'm calling you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying no.
Now, do you know are there other people that have similar prosthetics as you? Is it like a thing?
Oh yeah, this is a huge. The eyeball one-eyed gang goes unbelievably
interesting.
Deep.
Very. Interesting.
I actually met up with them about a year ago. There's a bunch of people. They all have different like social media niches. I would say some obviously
right.
aren't on social media, but a lot of them are. Because they're, you know, advocates or they're just interesting people. And a lot of them have way more eyeballs than me, or, you know, they match them to their outfits or their
right.
whole thing is eye patches, or like, it's just funny how people choose to embrace this. I'm definitely not the only one, but they've helped me a lot. Like they've helped me. I'm like, what do I do with this thing, like how do I put this prosthetic in my eye? Like it's scary.
I worked in combat sports for a little bit, Chandler, and I had the honor of working with a guy named Michael Bisping, who's a former champion.
Yes.
Do you know Michael Bisping?
He's got one eye, right?
Yes. And he has a prosthetic eyeball. And we've been trying to tell him for a long time, like, hey man, it's time to up the eyeball game here. And I think we need to connect him with your friend in Oregon and get him like a legit, like we really need to up his eyeball game, I think.
You want to know something funny? We had like a dinner where we all dressed up as one-eye characters for this specific meetup. And someone dressed up as Mike.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, Mike's like one of the nicest guys too. He's a sweet
we
guy.
We are huge fans of his. Like,
yeah, he's a great dude.
Would love
yeah, we'll
to
do
welcome
my best
him
to connect
to
you guys.
The Fun Eye Gang.
The Fun Eye Gang. I love it. I love
now, Chandler.
Isaac, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so Chandler, you know, you're also an editor for Pop Sugar. Of what you've experienced, do you see that impacting the stories you cover? Do you see yourself focusing on purpose? Is there even just a little bit deeper? Do you see yourself in what you're doing, and I hope today even more you're realizing, and I think you know what the power of your story is doing, but where do you see the stories and the purpose that you're focused on with this experience that you face today.
Totally. I mean, I used to think that my platforms and my work would be two totally separate things, but now I've actually been able to write more about chronic illness, write more about, you know, my own stories, or even just have like my own perspective on health. You know, I'm a health and fitness editor, maybe not what people think of when they think of health, but like, I have a lot of health experience. It's just a yep. little different from most people. So same with fitness. Like, I love fitness, but like in a very different way from how other people probably approach it. So being able to bring that perspective is something I'm very grateful for. And I think it serves the publication well. I think it's going to serve my entire writing career very well. And now I've been able to make videos for Pop Sugar as well, talking about chronic illness, but talking about everything too. And I don't think that would have happened if I hadn't had the confidence to do it back when I was in the hospital. So it's just funny how it all works out.
I found that writing, when you're so connected and passionate about something, is actually easier.
So much easier. Sure.
Right? You know, it's like, you know, when you there's something that really touches you and you don't feel like it's a job, like, oh, I have to do this because my boss wants me to get this written. Instead, it's like, I can't wait to write this because I want to share this with people. I feel like my writing is better when I have that feeling. And I feel like the impact is stronger because it's more genuine, and it's, you know, the audience knows it. It's not just like something you're churning out. It's something that comes from the heart. It's better for everybody. And I'm wondering if that's the kind of feeling you're talking about when you're kind of blending, you know, your life with your work.
100%.
Authenticity and vulnerability is the secret ingredient there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I love that. And you're right. Like, more inclusive content benefits everyone. It always surprises me. I'll write about what I think is like a niche topic regarding chronic illness or disability, and all the comments can relate. And I think it's surprised my editors too, maybe. I don't want to speak for them, but we're always like, oh, this video about all the bad comments I've received or all the medical gaslighting I've experienced, like, is popping off.
You receive negative comments? Honestly, like, there's hate that comes your way?
I used to receive not so kind comments about just the way that I looked, because it's social media. People would say, like, you know, the eye's infected, you have pink eye, you need to go to the hospital right now.
Right.
Like, you look like a lizard, you look like a goldfish,
oh my gosh.
You look Jeez. Like Glenn from The Walking Dead. Like,
oh my gosh.
I just block them and move on. Sometimes I'll be like, love you.
Yeah. I was going to ask. I mean, look, I know when you write something for a publication or whatever, you're doing something else and people, and I was on TMZ for a long time, so I'm used to people, you know, writing in and saying not nice things. But right. I always just chalked up to whatever. You're just bored and this is entertainment for you. But when you're being so personal and so open about your personal life, I imagine it hits a little different. And so hearing how you deal with it, I think it's interesting that you don't let it bother you.
Sometimes I let it bother me. I mean,
she's human.
But I'm human. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, that's so dumb. But I've cultivated such a great community of other people with chronic illnesses that really understand what I'm going through. And that makes me feel so much better. Whenever I post, it's like an enormous weight off my shoulders because I really feel understood and supported.
Yeah.
So whatever those people have to say, like, it stings for a second. And maybe I'll like think about it at the gym when I'm trying to do a heavy rep. But, you know, it fuels my fire.
Right.
But no, for the most part, all the positive comments and all the support has been way more impactful than those trolls.
I mean, I think, you know, you are an inspiration. I mean that because I think it's so, a lot of people are scared to, you know, open up about things that are personal, and the fact that you have, and I, you know, you've helped so many people along the way, whether it's you know, with medical, like you're just talking about your journey on the medical side, or, you know, just letting people understand that they're not alone if they're going through this, or if they know somebody, how they can help. Because I think that's a big part of our show, is it's not just for people.
It's the purpose of the show.
Yeah. It's not just for people that, you know, for us, like Mike and I, we have children with disabilities. Isaac, you know, was raised by a mother who had visual impairment. And it's not just for people who are directly connected to it. But what I've experienced is that a lot of people who, you know, we're friends with or know somebody that have, you know, some kind of an issue or whatever, they want to know how they can help. They want to know, you know, the right way to talk about certain things and educate mm-hmm. themselves and how can we help the community and all that stuff. And I feel like this show and what you're doing on your platforms is helping people that want to help, that genuinely have good intentions. Like you're educating them on how they can be, you know, be a positive force in someone else's life. And I think that's a really mm-hmm. cool thing. So for that, I mean, honestly, I commend you so much for what you've done and what you're continuing to do and the success that you've had and will continue to have. I think it's great.
Yeah. And I think feeling mm-hmm. the fire, I think, is an important thing that you said. We had my mom on a couple of shows ago and we talked about her first interview, and they told her the position was filled when they found out that she was blind. So it's the same thing. I'm shocked that people would even comment and tell you this, but it's those things that, you know, when people tell you something, you could choose to let it impact you, but it sounds like you're human, but how do you keep fueling the fire to keep you going? Because you're helping so many other people, and don't let those few people get you down.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to tag onto that, Isaac, because that stupid person who turned down your mom for a job because they were ignorant and dumb, your mom went on to work on spaceships and rockets and became a pioneer in disability advocacy and making accessibility in the workplace a better place. So their loss and better for your mom. I just like, every time we bring that up, I like to tell the ending to that story because it's an amazing
missiles and rocket
story.
Ships.
Yeah, exactly. I think she did all right.
Thank you.
Anyway, Chandler, before we get out of here, where can people find you? If people want to, you know, watch your content, read your stuff, where can they find you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm Chan Plante, Chanplante on pretty much every social media platform, and Chandler Plante at Pop Sugar. You know, I keep my life separate. I'm like Hannah Montana.
There you go. By the way, my daughter's super into that, and we're watching all those old episodes now. It's weird. It's weird to watch to watch Miley Cyrus now and Hannah Montana then. It's an interesting thing. Sorry to go off topic. I digress. Anyway, Chandler, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate you. Thank you for really, honestly, this has been an amazing conversation. We're so grateful. And if you enjoyed this conversation, you like the show, remember, like and subscribe and send this to your friends and share and follow us on all the social media platforms. We're there, Driven by Purpose. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, Chandler.
Thank you, Chandler.
Thanks, guys.